Well, good morning. And whether it is good this morning, it is a morning to be good on, or you're feeling rather good this morning, it is the morning, at least for us it is. Way too early to be having a podcast, in my opinion, but this was the only time that worked, so we're going for it. In fact, so early that Nate was here for a hot second, and then's like, nah, I'm going back to bed. Not really. He just looked pretty rough. And so we said, why don't you go back to bed? So, I woke up earlier than I even would for prayer for this. So,
kind of cool. Dedication. It's still super foggy here. We have like some lights out on the street, and it always looks like very haunting when you look out the window. And you just have like those old orangish like street lamps with the dense fog. It looks like you should see something lurching out towards you. But it's kind of a fun time in the morning to come down and like get kind of like the spooky, jittery, like, I'm gonna get some coffee and hope nothing eats me.
Yeah. So that's awesome. But, yeah. I love when there's fog around St. Vincent, because especially when it obscures the buildings, and so you feel like you're an island. Like, okay.
That's true, because, sometimes it's so dense when we take Philip to a Montessori school that's about 10 minutes from us. It's a great little school. We cross the bridge from West Virginia over into Ohio, and there's been a couple mornings because the fog is so dense from the Ohio River that you just look like you're driving into this foggy abyss. You're just like, that's, I don't know what's on the other side. It looks really cool, but
has he commented on any of that? Like,
before? Yeah. Sometimes we'll just be like, where's Steubenville? So, like, where'd it go?
That's great.
It's fun. So, all right.
Well, yeah. So, because it's so early, we didn't want to try to do heavy philosophy or theology at, 6 a.m. And we realized it had been a hot minute since we've done maybe more of a fun, just sibling episode, which I've actually gotten comments pretty consistently from people that their two favorite types of episodes are ones that kind of focus on monasticism or the ones that focus on just our relationship as siblings. So I think in some ways those are maybe a little bit more of the unique aspect of things, because people can tune into philosophy and theology podcasts. Yeah. And I don't want to say they're a dime a dozen, but there are a lot of them. And I still believe that we have good, unique perspectives, but the most unique things that we have are me being a monk and then just our general relationship. And the fact that it continues, in our adulthood. So we were just kind of throwing out ideas, and a fun one that we stumbled upon was just to kind of share some of the ways in which our childhood was, particularly in regards to when our parents weren't in... I wouldn't say what in the picture,
but yeah, that sounds a little
when they weren't, yeah, when they
more
weren't
dire,
when they didn't show up, when they were dead. when they weren't around, like they would go off maybe on a weekend, get away, or they went to Europe, or they would even go on date nights. What we did as kids, even like well into us getting older, just what that dynamic is like. So there's some specific things I thought I had ideas for, but Tom, what describe for our listeners what a general routine looked like for, and I think we even talked about this a little bit in our sibling superlatives episode, but
yeah,
what that routine looked like as soon as mom and dad pulled down the road.
Yeah. Well, I think it's helpful to start out with, this was often planned out. We weren't caught on the heels of our feet. We were ready. We were like primed on the balls of our feet to act. So there was a game plan in place to make sure that we maximized every ounce of whatever time we had. This applied to things even as short as 15 or 20 minutes, and I'll bring up something in a minute, Brother Francisco, that you're gonna laugh at because it's the truth. So in a nutshell, though, we and this is
This is more, I would say, fits in the vein of us being mischievous kids than, like, say, dirty, dirty, rotten little brats. But
we
were pretty mischievous. So we would fully take advantage of the opportunities that mom and dad were away in some way, shape, or form to just exercise a little bit more freedom than maybe we really had otherwise. And there's some key areas that, whether it was the food we were eating, that was always a pretty big important part. The shows we were watching.
As if they would never notice that the food had gotten eaten.
Yeah. Well, see, we'd also go out and get pizzas sometimes, you know, well, especially as we got older. We got older, we'd go out and get our own food. So the food we were eating, the shows we were watching, the amount of time that we would spend playing some form of video game, generally Civilization, that was the game. Battlefront 2, a classic, total classic. And how late we would stay up.
Oh, that's a huge one.
That fundamentally changed. But yeah, I mean, just to give, like, I'll even just take a general weekend, what that would look like. So we would, you know, say mom and dad were going away for a weekend retreat, and they did, you know, they did stuff with Curcio, they did stuff with NFP, the apostolate for family consecration. There's plenty of different opportunities for us to have these weekends, you know, marriage retreats, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it would often, you know, be that, like, we knew mom and dad were going. As we got older, we would literally be solo for these weekends. When we were younger, mom and dad would sometimes have friends. We had a good friend named Megan Maley who would sometimes come hang out with us for the weekend. Some other friends, and they were great. They probably kept our shenanigans to a little bit more of a.
But we're still willing to, like, negotiate some of
those. Oh, yeah.
Especially the food. I remember, like, Megan's sister particularly just kind of like, oh, yeah, we can go get Dairy Queen. It's only January.
Yeah. But, yeah, we would be ready and waiting for that car to finally go. We'd be, like, chomping at the bit, basically, you know, shuffling our parents out the door. Yes. They'd get in the car. We'd watch them pull down, head down the street. And we'd give it maybe a little bit of time just to make sure they didn't loop back for some something they forgot, which also would happen every now and then, once or twice.
Yeah,
scared the pants off of us. But within minutes, we were either behind the computer, turning on the TV, you know. And then, you know, Friday nights, we would get pizza, we'd get food. And Saturday mornings, we'd be up early. Back at it. We generally try to, like, make plans with our friends too. We didn't just, like, binge TV the whole weekend. We would often but it was always fun because we kind of, if we wanted to go spend the whole day with the Depews almost, you know, on Saturday, we would do that. You know, we'd go hang out with them for, like, the whole day. It was always a good time, and I'd say it's about as wholesome as you can probably be. In the department of, like, disobeying your parents, that's probably where a lot of this
stuff is. Yeah, when we say, like, we stretched things or we did things that we, like, weren't allowed to do, they were still, like, very innocent. Just probably, you know, a little bit too excessive on some of our forms of entertainment, or, you know, maybe gorging a little bit on food that we probably shouldn't eat, but otherwise, like, that was it. I remember one time, and I think this was one of my more favorite memories, but I think we watched, like, I don't know, like, two movies in a row. And we started them at, like, 10 p.m., right? So it was like 2 a.m. when we're finishing up. And all four of us are still in the living room. And we just shut off the lights and just all slept there. And, like, very uncomfortable. I think it was, like, three of us on one couch, someone on the other. Because we didn't want to, you know, like, part or separate. And for some reason, mom doesn't care about this now, you know, because we're all adults. But even on, like, the weekends, like, even Friday, that wasn't even something we were allowed to do. It's like, fall asleep on the couch. It's like, you had to go to bed, which... I see value toward to now, I guess. I still, because you don't have a good night's sleep for the weekend or whatever. But, yeah. And it was just like a sibling, like, camp out. And Sarah usually, like, still played mom to some extent. You know, she would try in some ways to have some order. Like, hey, boys, maybe you've been on the computer for too long. Or, yeah. Most of the time, if we were making dinner, she would pretty much do it. And I remember one time, she's like, I don't even remember how it got to this, but she made dinner, and then she just waited to see how long we would take to realize we were hungry. Like, could we pull ourselves away from our video games or from hanging out with the pews to realize, like, oh, I guess we need dinner. And then it was almost 9 o'clock or something before. Yeah. Like, oh, Sarah, do we have food? She's like, well, it's been ready for 3 hours, but, you know, you just been sitting around. Yeah. And, yeah. Do you have any, specific memories of a time? I do remember talking about circling back. We had set up, I think we brought the Xbox up from the basement, because our TV downstairs was really tiny, but our TV upstairs was pretty big. We brought that up from the basement. We had Battlefront 2. We were, like, logging in. And I think this was in the time that Mom and Dad didn't know we had Battlefront, because we had had it, and then we weren't, like, I think Mom had taken it. Because there was, you know, Nate wasn't old enough, and it was rated T, so we couldn't play it. So they had taken it, and then I think they lost it. Or when we finally got it back, it worked so intermittently that it basically didn't work. So we got another copy of it from somewhere, and it would work, but only if we kept the Xbox on half the time, which I want to talk about that. But we brought it up, and we were logging on, and Nate was all excited because he, like, never got to play. And he's sitting down, and they didn't come back down Garden like the way they normally would. They came up from Beatty instead, the other side of the street.
Yep.
And they pulled in. And they're opening the door. We're like, oh, no. So we, like, throw all of the game controllers under the couch as fast as we can, turn off the TV, and then open up, like, a really harmless DVD. We're like, we're just going to watch the show. And Mom's like, well, have you even done the chores you're supposed to do before you watch the show? I'm like, oh, well, we'll get to them. She's like, no. And I'm like, phew. So then there was this whole thing about, oh, make sure you do your chores, make sure you, whatever. But we were so close. To getting caught, which, like, getting caught playing a Star Wars shooter game is nothing compared to getting caught some of my friends would get caught doing. Anyways, do you have any specific, like, weekends or weekdays or whatever memories that specifically was like that was at us at our prime, or maybe they didn't all go so fun? When siblings start clashing over who's in charge or what we should do, what we shouldn't do.
Yeah. So I'll give two stories. One, which was one of the first times I recall us being left by ourselves. And it wasn't for a weekend, it was for a night.
Ooh, I think I remember this.
This was not a fun one. So our parents went out for a dinner date with some friends. I don't remember. It might have been the Coulters or something. And they went out for a dinner date, and we were all pretty excited because it might have been, one of the first times they left us home. And we were going to get, I think my mom had gotten us, like, pizza, mm-hmm. or was planning to get us pizza. And she had said she was going to get some movies from the library. That's where we often went. We often went to the library. That was another big part of, mm-hmm. of, like, that Whitaker weekend routine is one of us would be running to the library to go check out some DVDs, you know, which might not be the ones that normally we would check out. Or we'd borrow movies from friends and stuff like that. It was a good time. But so Mom had gotten some movies, one of which was Ichabod Crane.
Yep. And this is the story I thought it was.
Mr. Toad, I think it was. Ichabod Crane. I don't remember what it was.
The Headless Horseman, right?
The Headless Horseman, yeah. And it was like, I want to say it was like a fall time thing. So Mom was like, oh, this will be kind of fun. It'll be like, it's a little bit on the spooky side. And we're like, okay, we don't really want to watch this, but all right, we'll put it in.
If you haven't seen it, it's a rather old cartoon.
Yep. But it is pretty, like, trippy slash kind of, like, spooky. Like, if you're a kid, there's a lot of, like, scary faces mm-hmm. and lights and dark. It kind of, like, just a general darkness to it. It's also, there's a lot of, like, what the heck is going on in the story. Because it's, like, there's more, like, a couple stories together. You know, I don't think it's, like, one coherent, like, movie, if I recall. But anyway.
Yeah, there are, anyways.
So there was, we're watching that, and there was a very strong thunderstorm that night. It wasn't mm-hmm. just like we watched it and got freaked out. There was a really strong thunderstorm, and so we were all scared. This is like the first time.
Yep.
We're all scared, very scared little kids. Not even that little. This is going to sound like child abandonment, but we were like, by our standards, we were all pretty scared. But then to make matters worse, so my parents had given us the hotel, or sorry, not the hotel, the restaurant that they were going to go to. If we needed to call for anything,
because mm-hmm.
This was even before our parents had cell phones. Yep. So this is going a ways back, actually. Now that I think about it, and so it gets to like 10:40 or something like that. And I think they had said they were going to be back by 10 o'clock, maybe or so. And we're getting a little bit nervous. So we you know. I think we started praying. So sometimes we did the right thing. Sometimes as kids, fear has a good way of stipulating prayer. But anyway, so we start calling the restaurant. We finally get a hold of one of the attendants, and they were able to identify our family. They're like, oh, yeah, they left like an hour ago. And we were like, what?
Yeah, you know, and the restaurant wasn't that far away.
Yeah, it's like a 15-20 minute restaurant. And we're like, they left an hour ago, you know. And so we're freaking out, and we're thinking our parents crashed or something like that.
Which was the wording also of the movie. Like, oh, he should have been here by now, right? Something happened. Yeah. And besides the thunderstorm, the wind was crazy. And I think it knocked over like a garbage can or something outside. It did just That's enough. Right. That there was something that happened, and we're like, oh my gosh, like, someone's coming, someone's here. And you, I remember, like, kudos to you. You're like, okay, like, I'll go outside and check. I don't know if you took one, like, a baseball bat or something, but you got, like, 3 steps out of the house. And so I was like, oh my gosh, Tom, come back inside. Like, no, don't. And Nate and I are, like, holding each other on the couch, and poor Nate's like, hey, my mom is dead. And they weren't coming back, and we were supposed to go to bed, I think, at a certain time if they weren't, but none of us could go to bed.
Yep.
It was, and funny, I actually rewatched, this was maybe a year or two ago, the scenes from that movie that was so frightening to us, and they just seem ridiculous now. but back then, it was terrifying.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no, so that, and yeah, you kind of closed it there. We all stayed up much later than we're supposed to. So we got back, and we were like, at least a few of us were probably just shy of tears, if not actually in tears. I think there was definitely some crying that night. I remember Sarah being like panicky. And I think there was some tears there. But we get back, and we're just relieved to see Mom and Dad. But did we get a scolding, you know? For not being in bed, for not going to bed, we got a decent scolding. What we explained, you know, as we were getting, you know, like put to bed, we're like, we were just so worried. We called the restaurant, and they're like, okay, we understand. You know, they softened up a little bit, but it was like, you should have been in bed though. That's one time. Another like really good memorable weekend was actually less time by ourselves. It was when I think Megan and her sister came.
Mm-hmm.
Megan and Kimberly. I don't know why I was blanking for a second. And this is the weekend. I'll let you pick up a baton. This is the weekend that you fell through the ice
Was Kimberly? I thought it was Kate, her roommate.
Is that Kate? Well, actually, that might have been the weekend because there's points where I think
there's a few.
They were all together
at some point. Yeah.
I might have met him that weekend, but yeah, that's a good one. I think you should tell that narrative.
Okay, so well, that part or just the whole weekend?
Well, what you remember in the weekend? Well, that one was fun. I think we made somebody made potato pancakes, and I was like, I don't want to eat potato pancakes. And
yeah, We love Megan. She I don't want to say notorious, but she was famous for like culinary adventures. Mm-hmm. So like putting cheese in pancakes or making weird, just like different things. Actually, I don't want to say weird. They're weird to, you know, like 12, 13 year old me. They're just different. Which I probably would eat all of them very readily now. But back then it's like, oh my gosh, my mom doesn't make it like this. So yeah, there was different cuisines. And I do remember we played Apples to Apples, I think the Friday night. Mm. And we were all laughing so much, especially because Kimberly told us the story of, I think it was when she was in high school, but she was
dog suitcase
track. And they stayed in this like really, really gross motel, for some invite. And that when they had like pulled the sheets were really gross. So they went to change the sheets. When they pulled them, the mattress looked like something had chewed its way through it. And like you could see mice droppings in it. And then, like, hey, we can't sleep here. We should like just shower. So they went to take a shower and there were no towels. Like the biggest things that they had were like washcloth size. And so they called the front desk like, oh, we don't have towels. Like, oh, we'll bring them up. And they only brought up more of these small things. And yeah, just the way Kimberly she has a gift of storytelling, and the way she's telling, we were on the floor dying. We were laughing so hard. It was a ton of fun. Well, the next day, I remember you spending an absorbent amount of time playing Command and Conquer Generals that weekend, which is a fun computer game. But it's one of the curses of being a younger brother, and I know Nate suffered from this too, is that you could never play the game. You just had to watch the other older brother play the game. So I remember, like, I would ask, like, can I play? And I'm like, well, you don't really know what you're doing. Like, I've watched you for hours. I definitely know what I'm doing. Like, well, I just want to play one more round. Like, okay. And I'd watch. Or like, well, this is my campaign. Like, you can play your campaign later.
That's true.
And or eventually you would let me, but then you would leave. You would never stay and watch me play. You'd make me watch you, and then you would.
Oh, I feel sad now.
And I did this. I've done the same. I did the same thing to Nate. Like, he would watch me play. I really like those Nancy Drew mystery games. And he would watch me play and play and play. And then when he'd be like, oh, can I play? I'm like, sure, but I already know the story. I don't care. And I would just not watch him. Anyways, she played a ton of that. And finally, I think it was Megan and Kate said, like, all right, boys, you've been playing video games for too long. Like, we need to go outside. And this was January, which it's funny that you brought this up because I actually just recalled this memory about 2 weeks ago and had completely forgotten about it. But we just went walking, and it had, you know, it was cold. There was snow out, and parts of Wolf Creek had frozen over. Not the whole thing. Parts of it had. So we were out walking through the woods, walking through by Wolf Creek, and we asked, oh, can we go out, like, on the ice? And they were a little hesitant, but not super hesitant. like, okay, yeah, but stay, like, really close to the shore. And Wolf Creek is generally not that deep of a creek anyway, yeah. So it's not really that bad. Yeah. But in the winter, it can get deeper with that melted snow and stuff. And it was deeper at this point.
It was deep enough.
We were out on some of the sheets of ice, and they were fine. Like, we were, you know, walking around, and we were, you know, maybe taking, like, you know, 3 feet out from the shore or less.
Yeah. Even.
Like, it wasn't that big of a deal. So we'd walk, and then we'd get off, and we'd walk down a little bit more, and then we'd get back on another patch of ice that we see. Well, we get on this one, and I just go a little farther out than we had gone before, I was definitely testing the ice, and you had gotten off, and they weren't letting Nate get on the ice. I do remember that.
Yeah.
And then I started, I could just hear it started cracking under me. So I turned around to like run back, and it cracks under me. It breaks. I break through the ice. I did not go under, but thank God. I was able to catch myself on, it wasn't even the bank. I caught myself on part of the ice. And I don't recall my feet touching ground underneath.
So. Yeah, I want to say you went up like almost to your.
No, yeah, I was. Armpits. Yeah, I was up at least up to my armpits, just holding on to like the ice around me.
Yep.
Enough that I was able to like scoot myself up on the ice again, and then I had to like run at this point because it has now cracked between the shore and where I was. So I had to run and like jump from the ice to the shore. And it that cracked when I jumped.
Yes. Yep.
And I landed only like half on, and then you pulled me up. And I was in sweatpants, or not sweatpants, I was in snow pants and boots and a coat. So, I mean, it would have been very heavy very quickly. And if I hadn't been to hold on, I would have been under. Which stands as the second time now that I've, I've now had two run-ins with drowning, close to drowning. Because, you know, Alaska and waterfalls. So for some reason, I'm still here. But yeah, that was part of the story we didn't tell mom and dad. If I remember correctly, and yeah, and I remember feeling a little bit surprised about how, I don't want to say calm, but almost underwhelmed Kate was about the whole thing. She's like, oh, well, you're kind of wet. We should walk back. I'm like, I'm not almost, just kind of wet. I almost died. And I think I was maybe 12, but yeah, that was a particularly memorable part of that. And Sarah wasn't with us. That was key.
Yep.
She and Megan, I think, had gone out shopping.
I think that's right.
So, because I'm pretty sure if Sarah had been there, she would not have been okay with us going out on the ice. And maybe even Megan might not have been okay. But Sarah definitely would not have been, because she inherited from our dad what we call WCS, which is worst case scenario. So we called dad our Mr. WCS a lot, Mr. Worst Case Scenario, because every time we go out to do something, he would be like, whoa, this is going to happen. What if that happens? Like, we actually made a video.
Oh, that's a throwback.
For a Father's Day gift where Nate plays our dad and he walks around Tom and I doing dumb things. We're like, wait, stop. And then he gives some narrative of why we shouldn't be doing, like, you know, turning a page on a book because we might get a paper cut and then bleed out, and da da da, or climbing a tree because we'll fall, break our neck, and you could die.
And you could die.
So our dad was like that, and then our sister just became that a lot, and she would fully admit she is still like that. And then working in a hospital did not make things any better in that regard.
Yeah,
she worked in a trauma unit, so she would see the consequences of people doing stupid things. So yeah, I do remember that.
Yeah, but I'd say those two are some pretty epic memories. Again, the restaurant one was a little bit more scary for a long time. Now it's just like makes me chuckle. But yeah, the weekend we played a lot of video games, had weird pancakes, and you fell through the ice was pretty memorable too. So, but yeah, I think, you know, I think the one thing, you know, mischievous or not, like, that I really remember fondly about all of that is that it was just, like, we were doing stuff together. Like, I know friends and stuff like that where they would not spend their time together if they had that kind of, it'd be like, somebody would be up in their room by themselves, you know, reading. Somebody would be downstairs by themselves playing a video game, you know, like, they're kind of get spread across the seven corners. Instead, we're like, we kind of all banded together for the most part. I know in some ways Sarah, you know, kind of just didn't always get to do all the stuff with the Tracer Monos, just partially because of interests. I feel like she was more interested in, you know, whatever she was doing while we were playing Battlefront 2. But generally speaking, we kind of all spent time together, you know.
Yeah.
And there's a bonding, I feel like, that occurs when you're kind of all like being a little bit rebellious.
Oh yeah. 100%.
You have to kind of like team up a little bit to make it happen, if nothing else. Especially when it comes to, say, creating some level of deception or creating some obfuscation of what is happening, you know. Another like a really short time frame one that I remember, which is just so funny, was when Nate was very little and mom was taking him to preschool still. You and I capitalized on that 15 to 20 minutes of
every week,
almost every day for a period of time. Like we literally watched through the
the glass of the basement, like the refracted glass. And it's not like a true window. It's like that. Yeah. A lot of basements have those. You just kind of see like light or whatever. And we would just watch for the green, because I think we still had a green van at that time.
Yeah, that might have been.
And
yeah.
We would just watch for the green to pull back and pull back in. And we would play Civilization 3, which is such a classic one, too, for a solid like 15 or 20 minutes. Often when I probably should have been doing like...
Roller Coaster Tycoon.
Roller Coaster Tycoon, too. That was another good one. But yeah, the teamwork that was required, though, it was real.
Yep, and I actually... Okay, so I remember another time where... I think it was an overnight, and we usually, mom would do this a lot, because they knew we were going to be doing some of these things, right? They weren't stupid.
Yeah, they weren't that clueless.
We like to have thought that they were. They're like, oh my gosh, we never do any of these things, mom and dad. But I think because they knew that we were, mom would always assign us like I said, chores before. Like, you have to make sure, you know, I want to see this taken care of. I want you to clean your rooms or whatever. And sometimes we would be like, okay, guys, let's just do it first and then keep on going. But other times we would wait till the absolute last minute and cram it all in the 40 minutes before they get back.
Yep.
One time, because they weren't going to be gone for super long, they left in like the mid-afternoon on a Friday and they were going to be back around the same time on Saturday, so maybe 24 hours. We had invited, I think, the Kengors, the Depews, maybe the Wazorix. We invited several people over to our house for things, like for games or for food, pretty soon after they left. You might not have been part of this. I don't know. I know Sarah was, because she was the mastermind for the deception this time around. But they came, and we're all having a bunch of fun. And she said, she's like, Sam. I said, if mom calls, she's going to still be expecting us to do chores. But there's all these people. I'm like, oh, yeah. Well, I guess I'll just tell them to be quiet. She said, no. She said, I have an idea. She pulled the vacuum out and just, like, put it in the living room.
That's right.
And then when mom inevitably called, I told everyone, like, okay, everyone, be quiet. And then I just turned on the vacuum, and mom calls, and Sam's like, oh, yeah, Sam's vacuuming the living room. It's like, oh, okay, yeah, it sounds like it. And then we just, like, they talked about what we were having for dinner, and they hung up, like, okay, guys, we're good. I did eventually vacuum, but it wasn't then. And, yeah, that was just one of those natural, like, siblings. I see you. We're going to do this together. which was great.
That's a good one. I think I only heard about that one. I don't remember why. I only heard about that one, but I do remember hearing the vacuum and everybody quiet down story.
that was a classic. That was one of my favorite. Yeah.
That's clutch. All right, so here, I think the funnier thing, I know this was part of even the idea for this one to me, is like, okay, now we're adults. You know, I'm 31, you're 28, right?
I will be in a couple of weeks, yeah.
Yeah, 28 soon here. So like, how do the same little habits of sneaky, like, you know, ooh, I have some time, you know, you as a monk, like, it's fair. You still veg out every now and then. You know, you still just hang out and cut it loose every now and then. And I know you're very busy between all of the campus stuff, all of the monastic stuff, of course, you know, but one, what do the situations look like where you're like, I kind of have like the license of free time to sort of just go do my thing? Like, what are generally those situations? And then, like, do you still feel sneaky about it ever? Do you feel like kind of liberated about it in some silly way? But yeah, you can start.
So yes, which is a very unmonastic thing, mainly because, so for me, it's almost the reverse of childhood. So childhood would be mom and dad would be the ones to leave and we'd be home and we get to do the fun things. Now it's more when I leave, here is where like the fun things are. Cause I might watch a show every once in a while in the evening or, you know, on the weekend. I don't play video games anymore. You know, cut and relax is I'll crack open a beer maybe and watch a show. But I can kind of do that like almost any evening if if it's late enough. I mean, I work with campus ministry pretty late into the evenings, but if I really want to. So I don't often think like, oh wow, like yeah, let's go. I do, and this is still held out from childhood. When you knew the weekend was going to be one mom and dad were gone, or I know the weekend I'm about to have is one that's generally more open, I'm just all about the weekend. Like, I got all these great things I'm going to do. I'm going to have all this fun. I'm not going to do any homework. I don't actually do any homework anyways, so it's not like this whole big thing. But I will kind of plan, like, okay, well, Friday night, I'm going to do this. Maybe we'll go sledding with the students, or I'll do this fun thing, and then Saturday, I'll, you know, whatever. This whole kind of, I will have this plan. But more now, it's about going somewhere and doing something. So oftentimes, it's actually coming to see you guys. Still wanting to be with the siblings on the weekends is a big thing for me. But if it's not that, I will kind of, there are some Saturdays where it's just like, all right, so I'll go to morning prayer and morning mass. And you're not going to see me again until maybe Vespers. So at least I got that like full, maybe like 8-9 hours. And I have done this. I've like signed out a car and I have zero plans of where it's going. I just am going. Yeah. And sometimes I'll just drive and just go to a park and just walk around there. Or I have done this a couple times. I've just driven into Pittsburgh with absolutely zero plans. It's like, we're just going to see what's going to happen. I'm going to have some food on the Strip District. I'll maybe call a friend, or I'm just going to go do something. there is this kind of, inner childhood, like sense of sort of freedom. And I do feel weird about it sometimes, or like a little bit like, you know, not dirty, but like, yeah, mischievous. Like, oh, wow, I miss midday prayer. I'm so naughty. I generally don't wear my habit if I'm doing that. So I'm like, oh my gosh, like I'm incognito. No one knows I'm a monk here. Ooh, I could do whatever. Like, I could go to a bar at 1 PM and, you know, or 11 as soon as it opens. I'm like, ooh, I'm so bad. Not like childhood, none of it is innately wrong. But it does feel weird. And I have, this is probably a little bad, when we request a car, we have to put a reason why we're going. Because if too many cars are requested for, they will prioritize
decisions
on like, okay, this person really needs to do this thing, this person doesn't really.
Going to a funeral, vice, going to a bar.
Well, there was one time where I think it was a friend of mine that I was going to go hang out with. Here we go. This is probably my most prime example of acting like a kid still, is when I went skydiving. So I did not tell anyone I was going skydiving because I was pretty 90% sure I would have been told I wasn't allowed to. Now, that's not necessarily – I didn't have evidence for that because Father Cashin had gone skydiving and he had been approved. But the difference was I was skydiving in Virginia with friends. But because we have a policy, you can't stay overnight anywhere without directly letting the prior know. I was like, well, I can't say like, hey, I'm spending my night over here somewhere with just like this really vague reason. So it's like, I'm just going to get up at like super early in the morning and just drive Virginia. We'll go skydiving with my friends and then I'll drive back. So I just got to request the car for the day. I'm pretty sure I put like retreat, like assisting with the retreat. I 100% lied through my teeth on the form. I did not say like going skydiving or anything. I might have said like visiting friends for some reason, but I definitely put like seemingly a very valid reason or really important reason to see friends. But I think I might have put like retreat for the day. And so I did. I told absolutely
retreat from a plane.
No one. I think I told Bosco because I said, if I die, you're my emergency contact. But otherwise, there was no one who knew. And I did. I early in the morning, I was at morning prayer. I did go to morning prayer so that people saw me. And I drove straight 5.5 hours to where I was meeting my friend Grace. It was a big group of us. Went to her place, we all gathered together, went skydiving, went to this outdoor pub for dinner, and then turned around and drove back. And I got in at around 11:30. I called people on the way home, and I remember I called Sarah. She's like, oh, so what are you doing? I'm like, oh, I'm driving back for Virginia. She's like, that's crazy. What for her? I said, oh, I went skydiving. And of course, she's like, oh my gosh, what? You didn't tell any of us. But yeah, that, and I did. I felt pretty naughty about that. Pretty, like my little kid was like, oh my gosh, you're so bad. I mean, I did lie, which, so, you know, full disclosure, Father Joe, I don't think he ever listens to this, but if he does, sorry. Yeah, there was kind of that whole, like, oh my gosh, I'm doing something and no one knows. Kind of like we thought, like, mom and dad don't know all this stuff we're getting into. They did. Anyway, so that's a long answer, but that's kind of what I got. What about you?
Yours is more interesting because you're a monk. So being sneaky with your monk is just like seems even more precious.
I could tell you about stuff when I was a novice too. That's a whole nother. That really was being like a kid because I was under like parental watch basically. But we can circle back to that if we have time.
Yeah. I remember one time snuck out for a 5 a.m. run together just to because I mean we were both that might have been during COVID.
It was during COVID. It wasn't a 5 a.m. run, by the way. It was a 4 a.m. run.
Yeah, that's right.
You left Pittsburgh at 3.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't allowed to see people. I wasn't allowed to see people. And it was COVID, so I was just doubly allowed not to see people. And Tom still showed up here, and we went on a run at like 3, 4 a.m. And just hung out. And got back, no one was the wiser. And I did not tell anyone until the membership was over.
It's clutch. It's good times. Those are good memories. That was a foggy morning, too, if I recall.
It was.
Which actually was helpful, probably, just in case. But yeah, let's see here. So as a now married and with kids, mischievous time for me. Oh, that's the one thing is it's condensed. I can't. I don't ever have like significant durations where that's the reality for me to like be sneaky and mischievous. I think the craziest it gets, which just sounds so lame, is just like putting on a show that I know Johanna would not want to watch, like a scary show. Like I don't like horror movies. I don't think any of us Whitakers really like horror movies.
No.
I know Nate watched more in college than I ever would.
He's a little bigger of a fan.
Yeah. But there's some scary thriller shows that Johanna, my wife, just isn't really interested in and can't really handle. And I think I tend to like, if she's going out for a book club, she's part of a monthly book club. She's got a weekly women's night. So lately I've taken actually like, Brother Francisco and I will often talk on Thursday nights, at least a little bit more often, than not. And, but I often use those short precious windows to like pop on a show that, normally I wouldn't be able to watch. Just because between the kids and Johanna, that's not really the thing. I think on some of my work trips, which is like when I have kind of something like total freedom, it's funny because earlier on, like a few years back, I really didn't mind. I was just like, oh, it's just a work trip, you know, I'm going to stay. Mm-hmm. Like especially at the last place I was at, I had, I'd say like half a dozen solid friends that weren't just like coworkers; they were also friends. Mm-hmm. And so we would go to the bar after work, and we'd probably stay there pretty late. I remember a couple 1 a.m.ers, you know, and stuff like that. Nice. Just like, you know, and everybody hanging out and laughing, and me thinking like, yeah, I never would do this, you know, back home between with the kids and everything. In fact, I'm going to Arizona next week for a whole week.
I didn't know that.
I'll be out of Fort Huachuca in Arizona, which is, I think the only thing I'm looking forward to on that is hopefully running. I just wrenched my ankle, but I'm only like 2 miles from like a nice big mountain range trail. Cool. So I'm really hoping to get some at least jogging in, but we'll see how my ankle feels. So yeah, it's not the same that it used to be, but I still do get a little bit of that sense of like mischief, like as you know, like Johanna pulls out of the driveway, I'm like, okay, I can put on my scary show. The kids are in bed, I got them down. I'll watch something like Stranger Things. Johanna not big fan of Stranger Things, or you know, or some war movies. I like watching war movies too, and Johanna can't handle all that. So
Yeah, it's not the same. I'm so much more boring than I used to be. Part of it is time. Time restriction is a significant limitation on the level of mischief that you can get into.
Yep. That's super fair. And we did kind of we had a nostalgic kind of weekend last, was it September? Because when Johanna went out to visit Monica with Molly.
True,
We all convened back in West Virginia.
That's right, yeah.
Kind of to help Tom watch the kids. And I think Mom and Dad were also gone. So that's that. So Nate was like, yeah, might as well come to West Virginia too. And Sarah came with Ellie. So it was
just that's when we did the sibling superlatives.
Yeah, that episode, the sibling superlatives, was from that weekend. The four of us just chilling. And in a lot of ways, we did some of the same stuff. We played video games. We watched stuff at night. I think we went out and got pizza. We're no more creative than we were when we were 12. And that was really cool. And we did the same thing. I think at least three of us all fell asleep on the couch and just kind of hung out there.
Yes, we did. Yeah. We watched Stranger Things.
We did.
Till the wee hours of the morning on, I think Friday night and Saturday night. Because Nate hadn't seen
it. Oh, and the hassle, we didn't mention this, but the hassle of getting to church in the morning.
Oh, my gosh.
We were like... Because sometimes we'd have, when we were younger, mom would still, well, I guess, when there wasn't anyone old enough to drive, we probably still had people watching us. But as soon as we had people, like you or Sarah who could drive, that just changed the dynamic of getting to church. Because we were either one of two things. We were either way earlier than we ever were with our parents. Hint, hint. Or we were way later. There was like no nice even in between.
Yeah.
And often it was because you and I were still trying to like play some video game before we went out to church.
Yeah, which is not great. But yes.
I remember a couple of those times like dragging. Or Nate. I just remember Nate. He would refuse to put on his clothes. He's like, I don't want to wear that. I'm like, well, that's just what mom has set up for you for Sunday. Well, mom always picks the dumb stuff. I want to wear like other clothes. I'm like, well, this is what you're wearing. And I'm kind of strict on that kind of stuff. Like, well, this is like what you have. Like, just put this on. Like, no, I want to try something else. Lots of memories, which are great. But I should – another episode I'll talk about my novice escapades of like being at Compline and then going into my room, counting to like 80 and knowing that Father Joe had gone to his room. Then I go down the back staircase out the basement – exit just so I could go on a walk like at night or once I did like run all the way to a restaurant where my friends were. I felt weird about going inside, but I had them like have a to-go container and it was really nice, so they brought it out and like sat in the parking lot and ate, like which technically, some of these things invalidate novitiate, so I'm like, don't talk about that to people. He knew. Like, Father Joe is by no means a dumb person, and he does not let things slide, so he's just kind of like, whatever, this kid. But, yeah. Anyways, that was us as siblings in, when we're kids, and in most ways, how we are now. So, do you have anything else to close us up with? Or?
Nope, it's a few minutes after 7 o'clock now, so I got to... I gotta get ready to get my little buddy ready for school. So
okie doke. I gotta do stuff. We'll see what happens today. But thank you for joining us for another episode of All Good in the Brotherhood, part of the Benedict Project. If you found this entertaining, we hope you did. Please drop maybe a comment or below, whatever. If you want to have more of our content, please subscribe to our channel. And you can also find us on Instagram and Facebook at the Benedict Project. And All Good and Brohood, respectively. So, signing out for today. I'm Brother Francisco. That's Tom.
Tom.
Have a wonderful day. God bless.
God bless. Bye.